Yes, I am on. Thank you, Pastor Kevin, and we always consider you our Corinth family. We consider it a blessing and an honor to come here today and to be able to share with you guys. I think it's been about 3 years.
I think so.
Yeah. As Pastor said, we just finished a two-year assignment in living in New Zealand. And while we were based there, we actually served in 11 different did ministry in South Pacific Island nations. But we were actually based in New Zealand, so it wasn't too horrible of a place to live for 2 years.
No.
But it's good to
Very
be back.
Nice.
Yeah. And our role is with the Jesus Film. We're what you call project managers, or now they've changed our title to producers. But we make the Jesus Film, and we get it into people's heart languages. About 15 years ago, I actually lived in Papua New Guinea, and I was there as an aviation guy, and we would go around and show the Jesus Film in a trade language. And there was some Jesus Film people that came to our center and translated the film into 9 languages. Heart languages for us. And so my friend and I went back and revisited the same villages that we had shown the film in when it was in their trade language. And now we had it in their heart language, the language they know best. And just to see the transformation that takes place when people hear it. I mean, it's really like if I were to show the Jesus Film right now in Spanish. Most of us could follow some, but so much was literally lost in translation. And then I were to show it again in English, and now you get it. So that's what we do. And we've been to, in the last 5 years, to about 35 countries doing this work. But
just to clarify, most people don't know that Papua New Guinea has about 850 languages. So for them to get the Jesus Film is huge. And everybody, they all know about it, they all talk, and they all want the Jesus Film in their own language. So you can just imagine how much work that is, because we've completed 100 Jesus Films in Papua New Guinea alone, and there's still
a few hundred more to go.
Yeah. So
it is, I love saying this, it's the linguistically most diverse country in the world. They have about 8 million people, but they, as Diana said, have 850-some languages. It's just amazing. So, we'll share a little bit now. If my brother Daniel there could advance to the next slide. This was just a picture of the team that we worked with in New Zealand. So when we went to New Zealand, it was not only to be based there to go and do translation work, but it was also to engage with the Kiwi churches to go on mission trips. So part of our task while we were there was to lead mission trips. And the church in New Zealand is very what we call a post-God culture, very similar to Europe. They're almost hostile towards Christians. They really feel that there's no need for Christian or any religion for that matter in their country. So before we went there, I really felt the Holy Spirit just really quickened me that that we needed to start a spiritual movement within New Zealand itself. So we did that, and so I'll just share a little bit first about the translation work. This next slide here is the team we raised up in the Solomon Islands. So the Solomon Islands is next door to PNG. It's also Melanesian culture. In the South Pacific, you have Melanesians, Polynesians, and Micronesians. Melanesians are PNG or Papua New Guinea, Solomon Islands, Vanuatu. Then you have a lot of Polynesian, and the best way to think of them is like Hawaiians. And then
and Solomon Islands is a little smaller. They have about 74 different languages.
Yeah. So to accomplish our task there, while we were there, we were raising up teams. So that center picture is the team we raised up in the Solomon Islands. So those guys are recordists and consultant translators. So they're able to continue on the work so that we don't need to be as hands-on anymore. So as we'll talk about a little bit later on, we're going to talk about what God's next steps are for us. But we raised up these teams in Solomon's and PNG, so they're continuing the work. We obviously still continue to manage them, equip them, train them, give them money. So whatever they need. But it's just really neat to, there's such an ownership when the work's being done by nationals. So, and the next slide is our team. The picture there on the far right is the team that we have in PNG. You want to talk to him about Wallow, or you want me to share that?
Yeah, I can. So the picture in the middle, Tony and I are with someone named Wallow and his wife Namina, and he is amazing in Papua New Guinea. He recorded actually about 60 Jesus films on his own property without electricity. He built his own little studio because he had such a passion for getting the Jesus film in these small languages around him. So COVID kind of shut some things down for a while, and then Tony and I came along and kind of got things back going again. We met with Wallow. He was excited to work with us. He got a group of,
it was probably about 30. Yeah, like Dana said, though, the Jesus film had come to a complete stop in PNG for about 5 years. It was, COVID was a big part, but also there just weren't enough workers. And God brought me to Wallow, and he said, well, if you'll come to the capital city of Port Moresby, I'll gather all these people. So we had a meeting, and there was about 30-some pastors, leaders of the different churches. Even the prime minister's secretary attended. And so we were really excited, and Wallow was going to be our man on the ground there. And then right after this happened, I got a text one night, and they said, pray for Wallow. They had to take him to the hospital. Very next morning, got a text. He went home to be with the Lord. We thought was a huge setback.
Yeah.
But, you know, Wallow, about 6 months prior to that, he was rushed to the hospital. They wanted to put him on dialysis. They said without dialysis, he would die. And he said, no, I refuse dialysis. Now, keep in mind, this is Papua New Guinea, where medical treatment is very, the treatment in itself is very unhealthy. And it's very remote, very remedial. So he just said, you know what, God, I'm going to refuse this treatment. If you want to take me home, that's fine. But God miraculously healed Wallow, and he lived several months, almost a year later, without any health complications. And I really feel that, like Diana said, he had such a passion for the Papua New Guineans and getting them the Jesus film in their heart language that God had one more task for Wallow. And so whenever we completed Jesus film, I just know that it just Wallow's up there smiling. Because after he had this meeting, he arranged it. We had this meeting. We met all these people. We had all these pieces that God brought in place. And then he took him home. So that's why I always share his picture and his story. So the next slide here, I'm going to show you a video, and this is of a pastor, and it's kind of a little hard to hear, but he's a pastor in the Oro province, which is in western Papua New Guinea. We had just finished translating a Jesus film into his language, and so anyway, I just want you to hear him.
May God be with us, Jesus, and may He continue to assist us. And this is a, I would say, this is a test of its kind in all provinces, especially the missionaries, pastors, and priests of respective churches, denominations. This is a technology that is first of its kind to us, because we have traditionally, we've been preaching on our sermons have been made of paper sermons. We've been preaching on papers, notebooks. But with this technology that is coming on, man, I believe that this will really change the trend of evangelism here in our province of Papua New Guinea. And I'm very, very thankful. I could never have this type of technology from anybody and any organizations. But thank you, Jesus, King. Well, getting a certain village pastor to be good with this technology. Thank you very much. God bless you.
Yeah, and I'd like to share that just so you see the difference that you guys are making. We always end our correspondence with, you know, thank you for partnering in with us or investing in God's kingdom through our ministry. But you guys truly are, we consider it a blessing to go and be sent. We love what we do, but we couldn't do it without people like you. So it's great to for you guys to see the difference. The impact that it is, it's such a tangible ministry. But now I would like to kind of shift a little bit and tell you about some of our mission trips. So while we were in the South Pacific, being based in New Zealand, we led people on 6 different trips throughout the South Pacific. We would engage with a church, and then we would take them on a mission trip, and we would show the Jesus film. There was a couple of trips really stood out. The Samoan trip, which I have a video I'll show next, but Diana always loves talking about the trip to Kiribati.
So Kiribati. It's spelled Kiribati, but yes, it's pronounced Kiribati, and it wasn't even on our list to go there. We weren't doing any work there. It's such just a small, remote island. They already have a Jesus film. It was 40 years old. But someone in New Zealand at a church reached out to Orlando, where the crew headquarters is at, to contact Jesus film, wanting to know if they could. We had any resources for Kiribati people because they had a large Kiribati population coming to their church. And they had come across the Jesus film from a DVD in English or something. So that's how they found out about Jesus film. So people in Orlando were like, oh, there's a couple living in New Zealand that are Jesus film. Here's their contact information. Contact them. And so come to find out, they were only about 30 minutes from us. So they didn't know they had a Jesus film in their heart language, so around Christmas time, we came to their church and showed the Jesus film. They had a pitch-in, and I think about 60 Kiribati people showed up to this night, and it was
two
just...
Two people got saved.
Yeah, two men got saved. It was just so amazing, and then we started talking about what it would look like to do a mission trip and have some of these people go back to their country to tell others about the Jesus film and that they had it in their heart language. So the church did a fundraising and raised all this money to send about 7 of the Kiribati people back to Kiribati with us. I think it was just us. We were the only Americans, and then one Kiwi girl. She was the worship leader at the church. So I think it's just so neat how God worked in that whole, like Kiribati, we had never even really heard of it, and it just came about like it did. It was just so amazing. I like to tell that story.
And what I'm wearing there is called a lava lava. It's customary dress there, and it took a little getting used to, but they're actually pretty comfortable, so yeah.
Oh, and the flowers on our heads, too. Everywhere we went, they had fresh flowers they'd give us. So, Just very friendly.
All right, so we are going to show you a little video that we made of the Samoa trip, and it was our second to last trip. We were getting ready to wrap things up, and we really wanted to have a just to go all out on this trip. And so we reached out with a couple Assembly of God missionaries from the U.S. that were actually based in Samoa. And so we partnered with them to put together this really big Samoan outreach. So if you can show that video. Yes, that was probably kind of our highlight mission trip. When I said those 250 young people, these were teenagers. These were kids from like 13 to 19 years old. We were just blown away. And of course, we we didn't know why we had such a big prayer team that day. Normally we'd have, you know, 3 to 5 people. We ended up having 3 to 5 teams because just to handle the overflow. But now we kind of want to talk about a little bit about Jesus Film as we transition. These are statistics, worldwide Jesus Film statistics from last year. Jesus Film, for those of you that have never heard of it, it was actually produced by Campus Crusade for Christ, CRU, as they're known as now. Jesus Film's part of that. They made this film in 1979 in Israel with a cast of about 200 people. And since 1979, about 575 million people have come to know Christ through the film all over the world. Just and those numbers are expanding greater and greater through technology and just, the people. And so, let's see, let me get my little trusty readers here. So last year we had 734,921,433 people reached. Mostly today that's on cell phones. In years past, it was people taking the film into villages or putting the screen up in the middle of a park and showing it. But now it's a digital age. And so when we translate the film, first thing we do is get it on the web and get it. We pass them out on SD cards and everything like that. So, 734. We're hoping 2025 that we hit a billion reaches. And as you can read just under that, 14,600,000 people made decisions to follow Christ. And and we keep really good records. Like, we hand out these backpack kits to missionaries, YWAM, and just other mission groups around the world.
Projection kits.
Yeah, projection backpack kits that are self-contained. They have a screen, speakers, solar panels, lithium batteries, and these people just go. Really, the one thing that we ask of them, because you guys invest in this too, is we ask them that they keep good records and that they send us quarterly reports. So when you read numbers like this, they are actually pretty true. And the last one is really special to me. 132,000, almost 133,000 churches or groups planted. And obviously those are mostly are like underground or home groups. Very few of those are actually brick and mortar buildings. So when we go into a place and we show the film, usually we go where we're invited. Usually a missionary is there or a pastor. Someone invites us to wherever we go. And the founder of our ministry was a man named Dr. Bill Bright, and his whole philosophy was win, build, and send. So it does very little good to go in and share the gospel to these people and then just pack up and leave. Mm-hmm. And that seed, that's not fertile soil. And so that's why we always follow up with discipleship. And like in Samoa, in that case, there was 5 churches that were partnering with us. So of those 250, we split up those individuals. So each church was assigned an allotment of those young people that came forward. And we do that everywhere we go because we're big on following through with discipleship. We have a lot of discipleship training. In fact, I'll share a little bit later, but I'm leaving later in July. I'm going to go to Karachi and Islamabad because last year we did a Jesus film in the Pashto language, 60 million speakers, and mainly in Pakistan, Afghanistan, and even in China. It is just taken off. It's amazing, like wildfire. And so they need the discipleship has been expedited, so we have a discipleship series called Rivka. So I'm going to be going next month over there to get that expedited. Usually we follow that up. There's a process, but this God is just using the Jesus film over there in Pashto. so rapidly that we're kind of just like I said, expediting everything. So anyway, just wanted to share that with you and let you know how we do go about that. But now I kind of want to talk a little bit about what God has next for us.
Yeah, so our next steps, we remain committed to bringing the story of Jesus to life in the heart languages of the South Pacific, and we're expanding our reach into Central and South Asia and North America, especially among immigrants and refugees, with the hope of the gospel. So on the next slide here, this shows what I will be doing, or I have been working on now, focusing a lot on North America, the immigrants and refugees. There's a lot of languages that live in the U.S.
About 300 are spoken in the U.S.
Yes.
Currently. Immigrants have come from all over the world.
Yeah.
So in some cases, they're from places in like Afghanistan that we can't get into, but those people are here. So we translate it here and then send the film to Afghanistan.
Yeah, so like one of the languages, there was the Zo language, people in Myanmar. We just completed that in Fort Worth, Texas, because we can't get into Myanmar. There's a large group here in Fort Wayne, Indiana, and a large group of Zo people in Fort Worth, Texas. That's where we did the recording, so then they can send that back to their country. And so we're able to do that a lot here with all the immigrants. And another language I'm working on now is the Pennsylvania Dutch. These are the Amish that have left the Amish. And there's been a lot of suicide among the younger people in the Amish. They've said that even though they're not allowed to have phones, the young people find ways to get phones, the ones that are still living in the communities. So they want them to be able to have the Jesus film to watch, to reach these young people. So that will probably be recorded sometime in August, so I'm excited about that.
And that's really huge because the Amish are such a closed society, and they're indoctrinated with totally false doctrine. So these people don't know true gospel. They're not even encouraged to read the Bible for themselves. And when they do leave the faith, they're cut off.
They're shunned.
Yeah, they're shunned. They're cut off from their family, everything. So that's why, like Diana was saying, the suicide rate's so high. And so it's like starting from scratch with these people, exposing them to the true gospel. So it's a huge project. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's affecting people all over the United States, not only in Titusville, Pennsylvania, where the recording's happening. Shipshawana, there's Amish in this state, too,
all
up
over.
North.
Yeah. So that's exciting. There's also Western Apache in Arizona. A reservation there has asked for the Jesus film, so we're working on that now. And because there's so much work to do and not enough people to do it, they've asked me to help with three languages in Kenya. So these have they've already been translated. They're just ready to be moved into the recording process. So be working on that in the next few months. So, you know, be busy.
Yeah, and as you can imagine, where the gospel is just literally exploding is in Africa and Asia.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have workers. I mean, we're supposed to be North America, Oceania. That was our task, you know, our region. But now I'm going to be, which I'll talk about here, I'm going to be helping out in different places, but they're asking Diana to go because the Africa team is just swamped. And so next slide will share a little bit about where I'm going to be. And okay, so Central Asia, South Asia, and the South Pacific. So we are going to continue. The teams will keep going in the South Pacific. Our heart is there. We've lived there. But also, God's expanding my territory. So the end of next month, after I go to Pakistan, I will go over to Tashkent, which is Uzbekistan. We just finished translating a Jesus film in that country, the Khorasan Uzbek language, for about, I think there's 240,000 speakers, 95% Muslim, 1% Christians. So it's a huge project. So the biggest thing over there we have is finding voice actors to help us to record, because no one wants their, and it's just their voice, not their face, but no one wants to be associated with the Jesus film, because they will be outcast. They can be persecuted, they can be prosecuted, they can be imprisoned. So I'll be going to, Uzbekistan, Pakistan, Uzbekistan, and as you see there, South Asia, the Pashto language that affects Pakistan and Afghanistan. And so on the next slide, this is our schedule coming up for the rest of this year. And it's been nice. We got home in what?
February.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So our organization said take 2 months off and just relax, regroup. So we've done that, and now we actually, a week from tomorrow, we're back full swing. And we'll go up to Lake Geneva, Wisconsin for a debrief / retreat where we'll talk with people from our organization, where they give us an opportunity to discuss some of the traumatic things we might have experienced. And we'll kick that off. Then we go to Campus Crusade biannual conference in Milwaukee. And then, I'm off to Islamabad and to Uzbekistan there starting July 27th. I'll actually go straight from Pakistan over to Uzbekistan. August 18th, Diana will be in Pennsylvania for the recording of the Amish Jesus film. September 22nd, I'm off to Helsinki, Finland, for a conference on how to use artificial intelligence to reach Muslims. And I know artificial intelligence or AI is kind of a buzzword, but it is a tool that we are using in a great way. So like in Pakistan, where we just recorded that language in Uzbekistan, we're having a hard time finding voice actors. With AI, we're not going to need the voice actors anymore. I could go into a village and have, take an older woman, a middle-aged woman, and a young girl, and then do the same with men, three men, and have them all just say one sentence for me, download it into the software that we're developing. Jesus Film's developing this, so we own it. And then it's going to translate all those languages for us. So it takes us 2 weeks to translate a film, to translate it from, we have a what we call a language of wider communication. So in most cases, we go from English to their language. In Uzbekistan, that wider language is Russian. Some places it's French in West Africa. It takes about 2 weeks to do the translation. Well, then the recording is what really takes long, because in the South Pacific, like in the Solomons, the voice actors, they might live on a bunch of different islands. And so you have to bring all these people together. Then you have to worry about the harvest season and weather. With AI, we're not going to need voice actors anymore. And when we do, at the end of our two-week translation workshop, we're gonna have a finished product. And that should be up and running, God willing, by the end of this year. So things are moving very rapidly. And that's why I'm going to go to Finland to learn how we can use that. Then I'll go to a global church conference in Asheville, North Carolina, where there will be churches from all over the world that will come. And we'll get to meet with them and see how we can equip these people. And a lot of times they don't even know that there's Jesus Film in their language, or that we have resources. And so that's how we network. Then I'll be back to Suva, Fiji, in October for the Pacific Bible Forum. And then Diana will be off to Kenya.
Yep. That'll be my first time there, so.
So it's been a quiet last couple months, but it's gonna wrap up busy. as we wrap up, I just on this next slide, I was praying yesterday morning, and I was I'd already prepared this presentation, and that was the end of it. And then God really placed it on my heart that this, and it kind of coincides with a couple of the words that were spoken this morning and what Pastor Kevin was talking about. You are sent. This is you, everyone here, whether in your home, your workplace, or across the world. God calls each of us to go and make disciples. And then I kind of paraphrased Matthew 28, the Great Commission, there to fit that in there. But I really love Acts 1:8 that says, you will receive the power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem or Hendricks County, in all of Judea and Samaria, the United States, Indiana, and throughout the world. The mission field starts where your feet are. And that's all of us here. You know, as we, some people might look at what we do or where we go and what we do and think, wow, that's not for me. And that's great because we're all, different parts of one body. We love getting to go, but your part might be just praying for us or, writing a check when you support the church. But also, you're also called to share the gospel, whether it's instilling the gospel in your children in the home. It could be at your workplace. It could be at the laundromat. It could be, with whomever. And there's a story I really want to share. We have a supporter, a man named Tony, and he's been with us for several years. Single man, no kids, no immediate family, and he has been a school teacher for a long time. And the last few years, he became an ESL teacher or an English second language teacher. And, he thought that, he was 70 years old. He thought, God, what else do you have for me in this next season? And he was so inspired and just lived kind of vicariously through us in our ministry that he, at 70, quit his job, retired, and is moving to Brazil later next month to become a missionary. He joined another organization. He's going to go over there and use his teaching skills and his ESL skills to teach. How God will use that so that he can share the gospel. So anyway, that's just to be an encouragement. Not that I'm trying to get your pastor to move to Guatemala, but yeah. But I just really want to just end with that and just... we're so blessed and honored to know that you guys, this is one of our church homes. This is one of the very few places that we feel comfortable coming into, and it's the Holy Spirit. Some churches we go to, we can be halfway around the world, and we don't understand what they're saying. But when they start worshiping, I'm right there with them. And I don't have a clue what they're saying, but I'm just in the Spirit with them. Now, understanding the sermon's a little different thing, but anyway, it is such a blessing to be here. We appreciate you guys, and you truly are on this journey with us. And the last slide here is a QR code. If you have any questions, you feel free to reach out to us. That QR code will take us to take you to our contact information, our email, phone number, WhatsApp numbers, social media links. So we would love to hear from you, and maybe one of you will be going with us on a trip sometime soon. So thank you guys.